Father, I thank you for your love and kindness and tender mercies, and I ask, Father, that you take care of all your children, and I pray, Father, for your mercy in everyone's life. And I also pray, Father, for this morning, for the word that'll be shared, and for touching people's hearts. Teach us, my God, to walk by the Spirit of God that you've given to us. Show us your ways, Father. We praise you, we love you, and we're just so grateful and thankful, my God, to be able to praise your holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So let's go to Galatians chapter 5 for a minute. I think I told you I'm working the book of Galatians and making a lot of progress on it. There were just certain things that I would like to touch upon this morning that inspired me from my study. And I want to talk about the Spirit of God that we have received. In Galatians chapter 5. It says in verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." The nature of the Spirit of God that we have received came on the day of Pentecost. And I wanted to go through some of the records of what it talks about and the different ways in which it is referred to in the church epistles. Well, in the New Testament. And you and I are spiritual people. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, you believe God raised him from the dead, you believe the gospel, then God, at that moment, he sealed in your heart his Holy Spirit, that gift. It's a gift from him. It's in 1 Peter, First Peter chapter 3 in verse 4, it says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." When you walk by the Spirit of God, it's also called the hidden man of the heart. It's that's a beautiful phrase. Go to Romans 7. We're going to go to a lot of different places this morning. Romans 7. In verse 22. Says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have literally what's called the hidden man of the heart. You have here, it is known as the inward man. You are a spiritual being. You have two natures. You have the old nature. We'll see some of these verses. The old nature is that which you were born of. It's flesh and blood. And that flesh and blood was you everything you learned in your flesh and blood came by way of the five senses. All right? So everything you ever learned in life before you got born again, which I don't really like to use that term, but it works. Before you got born again, before the Spirit of God came into your life, the reason I said that is because really the new birth happens at the moment of the resurrection. That's when you get a new body and new mind, and you can enter the kingdom. But we have, there's no doubt about it, when you receive the Spirit of God, you became a new creation. A new creation in having received the Spirit, this hidden man of the heart, the inward man. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." My outward flesh is corrupting. It's perishing. You know, sometimes it feels like it's going quicker one day than it is the other, but it's perishing. But the inward man, the spiritual man, the hidden man of the heart, that is renewed day by day. There's no diminishing when you walk by the Spirit of God. You are spiritual individuals. And I guess my point here is to point out these things, but to have you focus. Focus on the part that is what God wants you to walk by. What God wants you to now deal with. Because you are not just John McCabe. You got God in Christ in you. You got this completely new nature, and it has God-given abilities. It has beauty and power and peace that you can't have otherwise. But I don't think a lot of people focus on walking by the inward man, by that hidden man of the heart, as much as they should. In Ephesians chapter 3, and many of you have learned these things time and time again, but again, it's a reminder. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. He strengthens you with the Spirit that you have within you. This is how you walk with God. This is how you walk with him, is by that Spirit that's within you. And this is how God deals with you. I spoke about Corinthians. Let's go there and read it. Colossians chapter 1. This is what God has worked out since the beginning. This was part of his great mystery. It says, even the mystery, verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, in whom God would make known all the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God has made known the riches of his glory. And it is wrapped up in this hidden man of the heart. It is wrapped up in the Spirit of God that dwells within you. This is, and God has hid this. He hid this all time. He never told the angels. He never told anybody. I mean, nobody. So that it couldn't be messed up. You know, if one person leaked, remember, you had one third of the angels in heaven were taken out with the adversary, right? So angels are not exactly 100% trustworthy, are they? Any more than you and I. We're creatures. We have freedom of will. God wanted this to happen so badly, he told nobody anything. They all knew something was coming. All the prophets knew something was coming. The angels looked into it, but they couldn't figure it out. And what you and I have today within us, we have it within us, is the riches of the glory of that inheritance. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 9, it says, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The old man is the individual that I was from birth, until the time of receiving the Spirit of God into my life. That old man was basically flesh. It's called the old man. It's called the flesh in the scriptures. It's called the old nature. I call it the old nature. And it ran your life. It ran your life, and the only way you received information and learning and everything that you experienced and all the other stuff that went on in your life made up that old man. Your attitudes, your behavior, the whole thing, and it came by way of the five senses. The old man is basically the sin nature. It's the fall of man, and it brought sin and death into the world. It was the eating. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you and I all have a knowledge of good and evil. And basically, we walk selfishly, completely and absolutely selfishly, when we walk by the old nature. We lied, we stole, we did whatever the heck we wanted because it was about me. And the only thing I did good for anybody else is if it benefited me also. I mean, everything was based upon me. The new nature is about Christ. It's how to walk like he walked. Think like he thought. Put on the word that he gave us. You know, it gives us the authority and the power to walk by the Spirit. And when you walk by the Spirit, you're free. I'll talk about this a little bit, maybe a little bit later. But go to Romans chapter 12. You know, you can walk around in your life relying upon your five senses, relying upon your flesh, what I used to call street smarts, your education. You can depend upon all these wonderful things that have come into your life at times. You can rely upon your perception because of the experiences that you've had. You can rely upon the emotions that you feel. And they're all real. They're all there. But they're not always healthy. They are not always true. When you walk by the Spirit, you're walking by the truth of God's Word and by the direction of Almighty God in your life. You know, when you walk by the Spirit, you're walking in the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Your whole mind, depending upon how you choose to focus on this, and this is the choice, I have both in my mind, I have both in my body. I have the old nature, it's right there. I mean, it doesn't go away. I don't even have to think about turning it on. It's on all the time. What I have to do is choose whether I'm going to walk by the Spirit and the direction of my Lord. I have to choose. And when I choose that, it's right there. I don't have to rev it up. You know, it's not like a motor on a cold day. You know, you don't have to wait until it warms up. It's also right there. Both are accessible immediately. Both are completely damaging or complete blessing immediately. Now, we're Christians and we got a problem. We're kind of like got a split personality. You know, I don't know any other way in which to put it. I mean, when I was an unbeliever, I didn't worry about anything. I just did what I did, and I worked my situation so that it would benefit me. And I had no regrets. The only regret that I had is if it didn't work out as good as I wanted it to work out. Now, I got a struggle. Now I personally have a struggle. I have the struggle because I have one part of me pulling one way. I got the other part of me that wants to go the other way. And I have to choose. I have to choose. And the way in which we do this is here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we'll start. It says, I beseech you, therefore, I beg you. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ gave this revelation to Paul. And it's really his letter to the church. God gave it to the Lord, and the Lord gave it to Paul, who gave it to us. So I want you to think about this real personally. I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Oh, he wants you to live, and he wants you to sacrifice the old nature, the old self, and he wants you to live holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable. The word reasonable is the word logizomai, which is we get the word logical. After you've read the first 11 chapters of Romans and realize what Jesus Christ has done, what God has done, then it's just logical that you would choose to be a living sacrifice. Holy. You know, God is a holy God and he wants his people to walk holy. I think a lot of Christians get scared by that word holy, holiness. What it means is that you're walking by the Word and you're walking by the Spirit. Be not conformed to the world, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The way you do this is you make the decision. I am going to put the Word of God on in my mind and I am going to be transformed. And that's how you are transformed. You have both natures. Which one do you choose? It's by what you do in your mind. Everything happens between your ears. Your choice. You can, do you ever wake up and you don't even think. You just go through the normal motions. I get up. I don't have to think. I don't have to have a good thought or a bad thought. I just get up on my feet. I groan a little bit these days. I go to the bathroom. I brush my teeth, and then maybe, it takes me a few minutes before I have my first real decision. What kind of day I'm going to have. Or what my which side of me is going to win. There are other days I wake up, I open my eyes, and I said, here I am, Lord. What can I do for you today? There are other days that I wake up, and for whatever reason or not, I never really acknowledge God until later on and realize that I've wasted several hours. I don't know what you go through. That's just, it's a choice every day. There's certain things I do automatically in the morning. Well, I want to make my choice for how I walk immediately when I wake up. I have to choose to train myself to open my eyes and say, it's another day to serve. Here I am. I have to choose that. I have to, ladies and gentlemen, this is a habit. This is something you choose over the years. If you're really excited about something, you're into it. As soon as you're ready to get going, you're going to go to something exciting. You're going to do something really well. You know what? That's the first thing you're thinking of in the morning. But if you got, I got nothing to do today. Now you got real choices. But what I'm saying to you is that these things, it says, be not conformed. Don't be molded to this world. But be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And when you renew the mind, when you new it up with the word, you're going to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You will prove his word in your heart and in your life. I remember Mary and I many years ago when we were first married, my habit, this is way, way back at the beginning. 51 years ago, way back at the beginning, I would wake up and my habit was to have a miserable morning. That was my habit all my young life. All right. I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to nobody. I wasn't happy. I never smiled and never said a pleasant thing. And I can remember that pretty much from being a teenager on. And I didn't want to talk to nobody, nothing. And Mary used to bring me a cup of coffee, and then I would start to become somewhat human. That was a choice. That was something I trained myself. For whatever reason, I can't say that I purposely sat down and chose to train myself, but that's what it became, because that was my habit. And I had to choose to change that. I had to choose to change a habit that I had for many years. And then when I became a God-fearing Christian, I realized I got a habit that stinks. This is terrible. You know, and Mary would, oh, I can't talk to you right now. I mean, she put up with it, but the point was, it was terrible. Terrible to start the day because by my five senses and by the things that I experienced in my life as a young boy and by all of this stuff, and I couldn't give you a real reason, but these are the only reasons that you do anything. They come by the five senses. I developed a habit, and it was a lousy one. So I had to deliberately look at this and say, I can change. I can change and have a great morning every day. Now I still have to choose every day. I certainly don't live my life now like I did back then. I've changed. I got a new habit. Could that habit be improved? Oh, yeah, even more. It could be improved even more and more and more. But it's my choice. Or I can say, well, this is just the way I am. I remember saying that. And I have heard that from so many people. This is just the way I am. Yeah, well, shoot yourself. I don't know. That's not true. That is a lie. That is a lie that you can confront with Scripture. Because what you have within you now is God in Christ in you. And I want to tell you something. They never had a bad day. You can say, well, this is the way I am. This is how I feel about life. This is how I feel about this. Oh, woe is me. Or you can literally confront the lie. Because everything we do is because we believe something. You can confront that and say, no, this is who I am. This is what I can do. This is what I can be. In verse 3, it says, for I say through the grace given to me that to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. How you choose to think. You can think, oh, I'm some kind of hotshot. Or you can think lower than you're supposed to think, which is usually most of our problems. Or we can think according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And you have God in Christ in you. You have the Spirit that can worship God, that can talk to God, that He can communicate with you. When you pray, He hears those prayers because Jesus died for you. He hears them. Go to Romans 6. In Romans 6, it talks here in verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. We're going to be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that your old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's what it takes. Everything that I have learned before, all the things that I've experienced by my five senses have pretty much ruled my life. Things I've experienced, things that I, you know, good and bad, those things have ruled my life. I am to crucify, if I really believe Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I believe that he went through all of this, that he took my sins, my flesh, he put it on the cross, he crucified it because he did it in my place, then I have to mentally, I have to choose to crucify the flesh. I have to choose to crucify the old man, to literally kill it, to bury it. Because it's going to be, this spot, it's going to be raised again. And I'm going to have a body like unto his one day. I don't want to wait until that day to start walking with my God. I have to choose by the freedom of my will to crucify my old man nature and keep it at bay. Keep it at bay. And I have to do, this is a lot of work. It's not something that you'll practice, you'll get better and better and better and better at it, but it's still work. And as soon as you stop paying attention, boy, that old man, it just, boom. It shows up like it never left. Like you never confessed Christ before. And it just irks me. You know, all of a sudden you're having such a wonderful, peaceful day and somebody cuts you off in the car. And here it is, you want to commit murder. In a flash. Now, we laugh, but the reason we laugh is because it's so true. It's not because you are not spiritual. It's because you have these two, you have the old man, you have the new man. You have the flesh, you have the hidden man of the heart. And you have to discipline yourself to choose. Do you have to take a class for this? No, you didn't have to take a class to be a natural man. It didn't take no class. You know what I'm, you know, bringing a little bit of my Brooklyn. It doesn't take a class to walk with the Lord. You know, when I accepted Jesus Christ, I wanted to love like he loved. I didn't know a lot of scripture. I didn't know a lot of things, but I knew this. My life was changed. I went from being fearful to having peace. I went from being an outcast to being accepted and loved. You know, and it didn't take any time at all. It took a while to discipline myself to do the things that the Word said because I had to learn it. But look at Romans chapter 5. In verse 5 it says, "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us." The reason I can love with the love of Christ is not because I am working myself into walking in holiness. I can choose to love with the love of Christ because God put it into my heart when he put that Holy Spirit in there. It's a choice. It's something you can grow in. You can pray. Let's say you're just starting out in life. I just don't want to hate today, Lord. Let's just start from the ground floor. The things that I hate, the people that I hate, whatever, I'm not going to hate today. You may not love them like Christ on the first moment, but you could, because it's in there. You could, but it's not exactly your habit. Does that make sense to you all? It's there. You got the love that Jesus Christ had, and it's poured into your life by the Holy Spirit that is living within you. And you just have to choose. And you don't have to do it grudgingly. You can just get rid of the flesh, crucify it, and decide to walk a whole new person, whole new life, whole new way. Show me your ways that I might walk with you. This is the prayer of my heart. So, John chapter 13. So you are hardwired now to walk in love because you got the Spirit. I didn't have to learn how to walk, you know, the old man. I didn't need any lessons. I really don't need any lessons to walk with my Lord and walk like him. I read the scriptures. It tells me the example to follow. It tells me a lot of wonderful things. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of people who don't know a lot of Bible walk very lovingly that are Christians. And when you read about walking in love, and when you read about walking with the Lord, I mean, we're going to read some of these verses here, but it's not really brain surgery. It's really not brain surgery, but it is different. In John chapter 13 and verse 35, it says, "But this I say, but this shall all men know. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." See, this is verse 34. This is a new commandment. It's brand new. It's always been around that you should love your neighbor as yourself, right? That's been around long before the Spirit of God was poured out. You could do that. But this new commandment in verse 34, I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. When you love like he loved, then you are the example. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one to another. Loving your neighbor as yourself. If you didn't love yourself very much that day, remember I told you my example? I trained myself really not to, I was not sociable in the morning. So therefore, I couldn't do any better than that to anybody else. And I didn't expect much back from them. That's as good as it got. Now, I could improve that even in the Old Testament before the Spirit of God was poured out. That could be improved. That was choice. That was a matter of dealing with your own emotions, five senses, everything else. This is a new commandment. This new commandment is that we love as He loved. He died for us. He sacrificed Himself for us. He put up with sinners for us. He sought them out. He wanted to hang out with these people, not because He was having a great time, but because He wanted to bring them deliverance. He was going from town to town to town to town. He was working hard. He was working every day, serving, teaching, healing, loving. He was persecuted by the members of His own family, by the people in His own town. They thought He was just a bastard child who had no right to speak. The Pharisees thought He had a devil spirit, and that's how He was doing His miracles. He was the Son of God. Our Lord and Savior could command the wind to cease, the seas to be calm, walked on water, raised the dead, and yet He put up with all of this stuff around Him. Never sinned. And sacrificed it all to His Father. He was a living sacrifice. He could add anything He wanted. When the devil tempted Him, "I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and the power thereof. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is bow down to Me." That was a real temptation. "I'll give you everything. Adam lost is yours." Well, what did He say? "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." He went right back to the Word, which is the power. And He made a choice. "Nope, I'm going to do what the Word says. And I am going to worship God and Him alone." We got brothers and sisters, different churches, different denominations all over the world that are being persecuted. Literally, they can't sit in their home like we are. They ain't on TV like we are. Not going to have donuts and bagels or whatever the heck we're going to eat. They are literally running for their lives because of their faith. There have been many mornings this past year after I get done with this fellowship, I turn on the news and I find out that people were beheaded that went to church that day in Africa. I find out that in China, that they're being locked up. You and I, we live in the greatest place on earth right now. Ain't perfect, it's earth. It's still ruled by the adversary, but it's the finest place on earth. And you just got to be thankful. But you got to pray. Because all that can come our way in a moment. In a moment. And it doesn't have to be the government. Just be another religious group. Overwhelms. Decides they're going to rule. It's happening in Europe. A lot of places, a lot of cities. You know, if it's not one, it'll be another. You and I, by the power of God in our lives, just like Jesus, no matter what's going on around you, it can't take your peace. Can't make you sin. You rule. You got God in Christ in you. Wherever you go, He is. And if you learn to walk according to this rule, then whatever's necessary. Remember reading the book of Acts? Peter says, I can do nothing but speak in His name. He's standing before the people who killed Jesus. They throw Him in prison. And the angel comes, hey, go stand and speak to the people all the words of this life. They rejoice when they get beaten. They rejoiced when they got beaten. Now, how many of you, us, can say that? Not me. First of all, I've never been beaten for my faith. I've been beaten for other things. But there wasn't any rejoicing in this. You know, it's just, it's so rich what God has given to us, but we don't focus on it as much as we should. Look at a couple more. Ephesians chapter 5. Close up in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what Christ has done for us, and I have crucified my flesh and believe it, I have peace with God. And we're not talking about just quiet. We're talking about a serenity that can't be taken away. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That is just awesome, right? Now, I just read that was Romans 5, but that was good verses. Let me go to Ephesians 5. They were really good verses, too. Ephesians 5:1, it says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Again, our Lord has never asked us or commanded us to do something that He did not do Himself. And we choose. You're going to walk by the spiritual man within you, or you're going to walk by the flesh? Are you going to walk by the Spirit of God within you, or you're going to walk by the old nature? It's a choice. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I want to get verse 24. I want to read that first because I want you to read the context here. Read that with me. Verse 24 says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This new man, this Christ in you, It's a new man within you. It is created in righteousness and true holiness. So if you want to walk holy in holiness, you got to walk by the Spirit. And look at what it says here in verse 17. I want to read the whole section. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, they have no light, being aliens from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, being because of the blindness of their hearts. The old man nature is blind. It walks in darkness. It has no light. It has no peace. It's got nothing. That's the way all people walk by the old nature. That's what they have. Verse 19, who being past feelings, these people are past feelings. I mean, just think about it. You can watch this on the news, right? The unbelievers, the old man, the people who walk the way they always walk, they got no rules. They walk in darkness. They do whatever they want. They're past feeling. Having given themselves over to lasciviousness, that's lust, to work, and that's lust with violence, by the way, that word in the Greek. They have the lust. They'll do what they want to do, and they'll get what they want to get, and they'll do it with violence. And to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. See, that's the way the old man thinks. What's in it for me? And depending upon your attitude and your upbringing and your neighborhood and what you got in your pocket or whatever, you're going to act certain different ways. You know, you can be a whole lot slicker if you're a rich unbeliever. But then you're a whole lot more down to earth when you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. But it's all, I don't care about that person. I don't care whether I steal from an old lady or whether I rip off a guy at the bar working all night. I don't care. I don't care if I have to beat him or shoot him or whatever. I'm going to get what I want. But you and I have not so learned Christ. Now here's the contrast. If so be that we have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. See, that's the nature in which we all had before we accepted Jesus Christ. We just read just before this. You know, you may not have been exactly, it may not have been your mirror image how you acted, but it was. It's just, it was under the surface. But you have put off, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So again, the renewed mind, that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Now here is, like I said, this is walking by the Spirit is not brain surgery. It's not that complicated. Put away lying. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. For we are all members one of another. Be angry. You can be annoyed. That's the word for annoyed. And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The other word for anger is boiling over. Thumos. That's sin. This one's orge. Annoyed. But you know what? Even if you're annoyed with one another, cut it off by the end of the day. Fix it. Let it go. You don't take it to bed with you and you don't start the next day with it. I get plenty annoyed by a lot of different things. Mostly the stuff in this world. But I'm not letting it affect my whole life. I'm not going to let it rip up my whole day. There's so much evil that you see, that you hear about, the things that come at you, people that you have to deal with. I'm annoyed by a lot of stuff. That's okay. Be annoyed and then cut it loose. Don't let it affect your personality, for crying out loud. And certainly don't let it derail you from walking by the Spirit of God. Jesus threw over tables. He told the high priest, the day you see me, you're going to see me coming in the clouds. I'm sure he was annoyed. So you put away lying. You speak every man truth to his neighbor. Lying is a big deal. Lying is huge. You lie to me, you have broken a trust. Right? It takes some time to get trust back. How do I know the next words out of your mouth ain't going to be a lie? And the reason is we're all members, we're in the same family here. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. How do you give him place? Just walk by the old nature. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Taking care of others, helping them, working. Working so you have something that you can share. You're not just a leech. You know? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Lord, I got a lot of work to do on this. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, you can tell somebody, you can just think about it from the edifying point of view. You meet somebody and you say something that builds them up. Every time you meet someone. I mean, it doesn't take much. You can smile at somebody and get a smile back. Whatever you give, you get. Not always from the same person. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. See, you can make this spirit within you just moan and groan. Oh, what is he doing now? What road is he going down now? And you know it yourself because you got a conscience now, right? You got a conscience. You know when you're going down. And you know what? You don't feel real good about it. But the spirit is grieved within you. You know, people ask the question, can I lose the spirit? I don't think that's an issue. Can you lose your eternal life? Yeah, you can. I believe that. I believe if you turn your back on the Lord and you live a lifestyle of sin, I think you can read it right here in Ephesians. You know, whoremongers and drunks and all, they ain't going to inherit the kingdom of God. But do you lose the spirit? No, I don't believe so. I believe that that spirit is calling you back and back and back and back, no matter how far down the drain you're going. I think God is within you, doing everything possible to win you back, to help you back. You know, that's my personal belief. But there's no verse in the Bible that says you can lose the Spirit. You can lose your... The Spirit's not eternal life. The Spirit is a token of the inheritance. That's what it says about the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 1. So don't grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. He forgave you because Jesus did it for you. And then walk in love. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For we know this, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them. You are the lights of the world. That, was there anything unusual in that, in those commands in Ephesians? Be kind, forgive. Don't be a rat. Yeah, I could use other words. I mean, these are choices. This is walking by the Spirit. This is what walking by the Spirit looks like in a life. In Galatians, it says that you got the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I used to think fruit takes a long, long time to cultivate, right? That was the analogy. But the truth of the matter is, you got the Spirit, you got the fruit. You got love, joy, peace. You don't have to work yourself into it. The analogy is not, it's not a one that's in the Bible. When people say, well, it takes time to cultivate fruit and put it on the tree. Yeah, God just said he made the trees. They're good to eat. But really, I don't believe it takes a lot of time, because you manifested much fruit in your life as soon as you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. You got that chart. In Galatians, it's laid out this way. You can either walk in legalism, and that will lead to destruction and bondage, or you can walk by the flesh, and that will lead to destruction and slavery. To be a slave to the flesh. The only thing that Galatians tells you the way to do it is to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Make that choice. Make the choice. And you won't do the works of the flesh, and you're not under the law, because you won't be breaking the law, and you certainly won't be going down the rabbit hole of hell with the flesh. You walk by the Spirit. And the more you focus on that, the freer and more beautiful your life will be. That's what I got to share with you today.